Hello, friends. Let's say, open with a prayer. Heavenly Father, Divine Mother, Friend, Beloved God, Jesus Christ, Babaji Krishna, Lahiri Mahashaya, Swami Sri Yukteswar, our beloved Gurudeva, Paramahansa Yogananda, saints of all religions, friend and guide Swami Kriyananda, we lovingly bow before you all. Great masters, we come to you with great gratitude for your presence in our lives. Hold us close. Feel our yearning to come home to you, to be perfect disciples, to learn and share all that we can in this life. Help us to remove all obstacles on that path to true realization in thee. And help us to be perfect channels of your love and your light into this world. Om peace, Shanti, Amen. It's such a joy to be able to be with all of you. This morning, somebody put out a note. I'm speaking to you from our community in Ananda, Palo Alto. And somebody put a note out to our group saying that there was a two-bedroom apartment available. And they just put it out, and that was a business message that was going out to our big Google group that we have. And I couldn't help myself. I wrote a response to it to everybody in the group. And I had to say more than, hey, it's available. I said, if ever you've thought about living in community, ever, now is the time. I just couldn't imagine. I wanted to say to them, grab it right now while you can. It is such a gift to us to be living and coming together in community. Even now, when none of us are really coming together, other than virtually, but we are doing it virtually, and we feel each other's energy all around the world. I know every Ananda community is just being so prolific in what they're putting out, what they're offering, but it's not just a half hour here, or a sing-along here, or a talk, or it's the energy that we feel. I've actually been watching a great many of them and realizing coming together through the teachings of one great master and his extraordinary disciple brings us together, and we feed each other with courage, with conviction, with willpower, and with joy, and opening our hearts, just watching each other, let our hearts fill with love. And even just speaking to all of you who I can't see, but I can feel you. I know that we're together. I know that we're, really, it feels like a huge safety net to me. You know, we're sheltered in place here, is the phrase of the day. I think in many places, at least in the, not just in the United States, now I heard even in India, certainly in Italy, so all around the world, all around the Ananda world, this is happening. But this morning I thought, I'm sheltered in community. And I'm so grateful for that. Yesterday morning, I was listening to a little interview that was going on with Dr. Peter up at the Village, and Jyotish and Davey were there, and He was sharing some medical knowledge. And at the very end, he takes questions. And one of the questions that came to Peter is, do you, Peter, think that this could be those very hard times that Yogananda spoke about when he was alive? And Swami Kriyananda has related to us for decades. You know, Master said there would be a cataclysm. That's a big word. That means something of global or planetary, in Swamiji's words, importance, or a happening like that. And somebody was saying to Peter, do you think this is it? And Peter answered, he said what many of us are saying, well, this is big and this could be it. Of course, none of us really know. Then he asked Jyotish and Devi to comment, and Jyotish commented, I don't even really remember right now all of what Jyotish said, but Devi said something that really, I mean, it all really struck me, but Devi said something that I'm remembering now. And she said, it could be, of course, this could be it. This event that we're all going through is big enough. She said, but really, what difference does it make to define it? What difference does it make to need to give it a name or call it something? Because whatever it is, whatever moment we're in life, and I have felt this so many times myself, maybe that's why it resonated. My job, all of our job, is just to show up in the moment and just keep doing the best we can do. That's all any of us can do. But absolutely, right now, we're being given more of an opportunity than usual to do that, to really say, what is my job in this moment? How can I be part of the solution? How can I also be looking to use this to grow spiritually? And it was just so comforting that she said that. We don't need to be doing anything any different. And I was thinking about it last night, and again, feeling so much gratitude for our teachers. And I was realizing, again, that these great avatars come, they take a human form, and they live what could look like a very human life. And they run into all of the problems that we run into. And it's as if they're saying to us, look what I do in this instance and in this instance. You know, I've recently reflected on this, I think in a Sunday sermon, but when Yogananda was trying to come to the United States, here he was, an avatar, which means he was born in this life for us, not because he had any karma to work out, but he came here really to show us the way and to be here with so loving, to so lovingly show us the way. And yet when he went to come to the United States, we've all read this, we know this, he couldn't get a passport. He's saying to us, okay, whenever you run into bureaucratic issues, here's what you need to do. He came without a lot of money. He didn't speak the language. He got on that ship and he was asked to give a talk in a language he didn't know. And for any of us, so many of us who have had to stand up and talk or share things, probably everybody who's listening to this has had that experience where he stood still for minutes. He just stood there until he said to his guru, wait a minute, you promised me that you would be with me. And then words came, and he said, I was told later I spoke beautifully. He said, though I can't remember a word that I said. But really, such human things. And it just kept going throughout his life. He had relationships that mattered. He was sued. He was challenged in so many ways. All really for for our sake, really to show us. When I was thinking about that last night, every Monday night in Palo Alto, we have what we call our Kriya Satsang groups. And so people are invited to join these groups. And they're like book study groups, but they're quite extraordinary because the groups vary in size. And it's not a class and nobody's teaching. It's an opportunity for everybody to read certain things and then share what was meaningful to them. And in doing that, I think everybody is being given this opportunity to read in a more focused and concentrated way and to sit with it, because everybody wants to come to these groups and have something to share. And last night we were reviewing a beautiful chapter in Swami Kriyananda's book, The Promise of Immortality, called Heaven is Your Birthright. And I don't want to really talk about it a lot right now, except to say that the teachings are so profound. It's Swamiji's most expanded explanation of those readings that we go through every week. Probably most of you know, but every Sunday, our Sunday service is based on a reading from the Bible and a reading from the Bhagavad Gita that basically say the same thing. And who's ever giving or share the same teaching? It's not that they say the same thing, but they offer a way for us to have a deep spiritual lesson that's expressed in two different ways, obviously at two different times, by two different avatars. So Jesus's teachings and Krishna's teachings from the Gita. Swamiji explains a little bit of that in Rays of the One Light that we read from every Sunday. Then he goes a little deeper with the teachings in a book called Rays of the Same Light. And then he really expounds on the teachings in this book, Promise of Immortality. Really deep spiritual teachings that I don't know how anybody else reads it, but I read a few sentences and I meditate and I read again and I meditate to try and absorb the essence and the depth of what Swamiji is saying in those readings. But last night in the reading, at some point, I just want to quote Swamiji exactly. He says, "Seek him, God, of course, and find him dwelling in your own heart." Seek him and find him dwelling in your own heart. And then he says a phrase that he repeats at least, I think, three or four times in the chapter, where he says, "Like can only comprehend like." This is in succession. Seek him and find him dwelling in your own heart. Like can only comprehend like. And then he says, God is love. Excuse me. And he follows that with, we can only know God by pure self-giving love. We can only know God by pure self-giving love. And it's one of those times where you read Swamiji's words and you want to know it. You want to know it at the heart level, but it's very hard. It's like we have these words that we use all the time. Super consciousness, even when Swamiji says, heaven is our birthright, and then he goes on in this chapter to say, by heaven, Jesus means God consciousness. And again, what does that mean? So often we're just up against trying to grasp something with our mind that we can only know ultimately by intuitive perception. Now, why I'm even sharing any of that with you is because as we were going around the group last night and trying to share so many different people, what did that mean? How do we love so deeply? How do we open up our heart to divine love so purely that we can have an experience of the divine? And people were sharing what that meant to them. And one of the women in the group mentioned, though she didn't really expound on it, an experience that she had when she was recently in Israel and walking the stations of the cross. And when she spoke about that last night, that's when I had that experience of how masterfully, how lovingly, how beautifully these teachers come to us and behave in such human ways. And I just shared with you a little bit ago some things that I've, some moments that I've thought about with Yogananda. But when she said that last night, I went back to my own experience of walking the stations, and everything else has led up to what I would most love to share with you today. I never knew what the stations of the cross were. I was born and raised Jewish, and that image of Jesus on the cross was extremely difficult for me. So I could never look at pictures of it. It looked, I think now it was just too painful, but it always looked so violent to me, which of course it was, it is. And then the stations of the cross, which I would only just get glimpses of, where it was, I just couldn't look. That's all I can say, I couldn't look. But when I went to Italy, and then when I went to Israel, this within a year I just went back to Israel twice, and I walked those stations several times, it came to me what an act of love and a teaching out of pure love for us those stations of the cross were. Really, all to say how much these avatars love us. When you think about the stations, and I think about Jesus bearing that cross was big. And the Via Dolorosa is a long walk. What he did was hard. And he showed us, every time I walked it, it went deeper and deeper for me. This is what it means to bear your cross, whatever your cross is. Our cross right now is this silly little virus. We can't even see it without a microscope, but it's wreaking havoc with everybody's life. But whatever our cross is, Jesus says to us, look at this. You fall. Imagine that. And you don't just fall once, but you fall three times. And you have to find your way back up. And there are times where you need somebody to wipe your brow. Sometimes you actually have to hand your cross to a dear friend and say, carry it for me for a while or be with me. You have to meet your mother and say, I'm fine, I will be fine. And what every one of those stations were, speak to us and say to us, whatever you go through in life that's hard, call it your cross and bear it, because in essence, it's how we work our way through this path. We are all on our way to becoming saints. We are not going to get there by book learning or by trying. Even last night, as I was listening to everybody, and the Kriya Satsang groups are beautiful. I really try hard not to miss them. It touches me what everybody comes to. But I thought to myself, here we are making every effort that we can, and we can't get there by reading these words or by trying to explain it. Really, the deepest value of those Kriya Satsang groups is that it brings us all together, that it touches our heart, that we can open our heart beyond the mind, which is really what every experience is about. Every experience becomes a cross to bear. It brought to mind for me the Festival of Light that we read. Every Sunday, we read about this little bird who goes out on his own spiritual quest. And Swamiji, right, and that bird represents us, of course. It's like Arjuna in the Gita. It's disciple every man. That's what that little bird is. And there are moments in that festival, Swamiji writes at one point, wind and rain lashed at its wings. The more it fought back, the weaker it became. Wind and rain are life's trials. Night fell. The little bird grew afraid. How, it cried, can I fly in the darkness? And God answers, fear not, for lo, peace awaits you in the unknown. Surrender to me, he says. In every way that we are taught by these great masters, by Yogananda, by Jesus bearing his cross, by Swamiji writing that festival, in every way they're saying to us, don't turn away from it. Choose consciously how you will face your lessons. With what type of consciousness will you move forward in life? How will you move to become a saint, to be purified? This is really what we're all here for. It's what we're all looking to do. We will not get there somebody just tries and makes our way too easy. It doesn't work that way. We don't learn. You can't lift a 1 pound weight for the rest of your life and develop your muscles. These are our spiritual muscles. So it's a hard time, but it is our cross. It is precisely ours to bear. And what a great joy that we've had these teachers who have shown us in every way, yeah, this is the way. You just move forward. You keep on moving forward. Davy said it yesterday. You don't do anything different than we've been doing it all along on this path. Just right now, with a little more maybe personal strength, with a little more effort, because it takes effort. That's how we grow. That's how we develop. But let's not forget that it cannot be anything other than perfect, that we are here now, right in this moment, being challenged in the ways we're challenged. As I said to all of you who listened last week when I spoke, let's call it our gift, our opportunity at least, to dive further with our spiritual teachings, to look at what Christ did on that whole Via Dolorosa, and with so much love. You know, Christ came really to show us just how much God loves us. And he didn't show us by making it easy for us. He showed us by example. So let's follow his example and move forward on our own paths with that same courage, with that same conviction, with that same unswerving dedication to finding God, to doing just what Swamiji said to us in this beautiful reading, to filling our hearts with pure love, because then we will be experiencing the divine within ourselves. You know, when Christ came with this reading for this lesson that Swamiji was teaching, he came to say the only way back to God, but the way for every one of us, because we descended from God, not just Jesus, not just Master, not just Swamiji, every one of us. So of course, we can turn around and ascend that spiral staircase, and each one of us are being given the opportunity. We will, eventually. As Master said, eventually, eventually, why not now? Let's just do it. It's ours. It's our birthright to find our way back to heaven, to that God consciousness. God bless you all.